Great, thanks. If we could find our seats, we'll kick off our next presentation. Thank you. We're very pleased to welcome the Kellogg Company to the Back-to-School Conference. Amidst a challenging sales environment in some key major developed markets, Kellogg has taken some difficult actions to improve the cost structure and fund its strategy to get the RTE cereal category growing again. Meanwhile, the company continues to expand on its snacks business globally, which is still in its early days, against the backdrop of overall growth across its international segments. With us today to further discuss Kellogg's strategy, as well as provide insight on the current consumer environment and how packaged food players are adapting to the new playbook for growth, is CEO John Bryant, as well as CFO Ron Dissinger, Paul Norman, Chief Growth Officer, and Simon Burton, VP of IR. With that, I turn it over to John. Thanks for being here.
Great. Thank you, Andrew. Well, it's wonderful to be at the Back-to-School Conference again for the first time for a few years. I start by turning your attention to our forward-looking statement. Please take time to read this for more information on our website. As Andrew said, there's really three of us presenting here this morning. I'm going to give you an update on the strategy of the company, where we've come from, where we are, where we're going. Paul Norman is our Chief Growth Officer. Paul is also our interim head of our morning foods business in the U.S., really U.S. cereal. And Paul's going to give you a sense of our plans to restage cereal to get back onto longer-term growth as we go into 2015. And then Ron Dissinger is going to give you an update on the financials, how we think about uses of cash, those sorts of things. Let me give you a sense of where we've come from as a company. If you go back to the year 2000, we're about a $6 billion company, 70% of our sales in cereal, and 20% of our sales in what we called portable foods at the time. Essentially, cereal bars or portable breakfast is how we thought about it. Today, we're a $15 billion company, 45% of our sales in cereal, and we're still the world's largest cereal company, and 45% of our sales in snacks. And within snacks, we're the world's second largest cookie cracker company and second largest savory snacks company, both coming from the Kibo acquisition and the Pringles acquisition. So the shape of the company has changed dramatically over the last 14, 15 years as we've expanded from being purely a cereal company to a cereal and snacks company. The remaining 10% in both years is essentially the frozen foods business here in the U.S. We've also had changes to our leadership team. We have a great combination of legacy Kellogg executives, so both Paul and Ron are 25-year-plus Kellogg executives, as well as hiring from the outside, hiring executives from companies like Colgate, Cadbury, Kraft, and with the Pringles acquisition, people coming in from Procter & Gamble. The result of the combination of Kellogg executives along with some of these new hires is it's helped us rethink how we run our business and challenge our model. One example of that is the creation of global category teams. So now we have a global category team for breakfast and one for snacks, and both the leaders of those teams are on our global leadership team, and their pictures are on this chart as well. So there has been quite a bit of change in the organization as we strengthen the team, bring new people from the outside, combine with great Kellogg legacy talent, and create an even stronger Kellogg team over time. So where are we going as a company? We have four growth platforms. The first is win in breakfast. Now, two or three years ago, this slide would have said win in cereal. But when you look at what's happening to the cereal category, a lot of it has to do with what's happening around the category, how other categories are competing with cereal at the breakfast occasion. So for us to win in cereal, we actually need to work out how best to beat other categories at that occasion. And again, Paul will talk more about some of our cereal plans. The second is becoming a global snacks leader. And we've made tremendous progress with Kibo and Pringles, and we have continued opportunity in the area of international snacks to keep building out that platform. The third one is to grow our frozen foods business. We have a tremendous frozen foods business here in the U.S., about a $1 billion business, really in two parts of the frozen foods category, both growth elements within frozen. One is veggie foods, so think about Morningstar Farms and Garden Burger in the area of veggie burgers, so I think we're still just scratching the surface of the potential of that business. And the second is Eggo waffles and the whole breakfast occasion of frozen, which is also a growing part of the frozen foods landscape. The fourth area of growth for us is emerging markets. And emerging markets is the defining event in the food industry for our lifetimes, for our careers. Today, the Kellogg Company has about 15% of our sales in the emerging markets. Pringles has been a great acquisition for the emerging markets. It's doubled or tripled the size of our business in some areas like Southeast Asia and the Gulf, and gives us a whole new platform of growth in addition to cereal. So as we look at emerging markets, it's an area that we want to keep investing in and driving even greater growth longer term. Our goal as a company is to get back on our sustainable growth model. Ron will talk more about this later. It's a virtuous cycle. It's a reinforcing reinvestment back into our business. It worked for us across the 2000s, but clearly it's not working for us today. We're not on this model as we sit here today. So what do we need to do to get back on the sustainable growth model? Two key catalysts. One is the Pringles acquisition. Gave us great synergies, great talent, increased the size of our international snacks business by 2 to 3-fold, and gave us a whole new source of growth potential. In addition, we're executing the largest restructuring program in the company's history. Project K is a 4-year restructuring program costing about $1.2 to $1.4 billion and saving around $425 to $475 million a year by the end of the program. We're taking that money and reinvesting it back in our business to enable us to get back on our sustainable growth model. We're reinvesting back in markets like the U.S. across the path to purchase. So in Desire, additional brand building, in Decide, investing back in our sales organization to improve in-store execution, and Delight, improving our foods, innovating and renovating our foods so we're even more on trend with what is a rapidly changing consumer perspective on food in the United States. And then finally, investing back in the emerging markets. Now, I've had the opportunity to speak to some investors over the last month, and I keep getting 4 recurring questions. And I'd like to take this opportunity to sort of try to answer these questions as best I can. The first is, will the cereal business return to growth? And there seems to be 2 extreme views on this. And people are really thinking about the U.S. cereal business when they ask this question. The first view is U.S. cereal is in long-term decline, and the second is U.S. cereal will bounce back next quarter. Neither is correct. I'll give you a sense of how we think it's going to perform. The second question is around Project K. Everyone agrees Project K is a great thing to do. Again, 2 different schools of thought. One is that the Project K savings should be dropped to the bottom line, that we already have enough brand building investment, and that those savings should drive operating margin. The other school of thought is we should invest back in our business even more aggressively, not wait for the Project K savings to come through and actually rebase earnings. We don't believe either of those 2 extremes is right. We believe Project K is the right thing to do, provides the savings, and enables us to invest back with the right cadence over time. I'll talk about both those in more detail. The third is general concern about macro industry trends. There's no question the consumer in the U.S. is changing their perceptions of food, and we need to change and increase the speed of change within our company in order to address those changes. And then finally, when will we return to our sustainable growth model? So if you think about cereal, if you go back to the 1990s, we're having very similar discussions with investors. So in 1996, there was a price rollback in the cereal category. A lot of investment was taken out of the category, and the category was relatively soft across the late 1990s, and there was investor concern back then about the ability to grow the cereal category. Across the 2000s, we grew our cereal business 3 to 4% a year across the 2000s. In 2010, there was another price disruption in the marketplace, and the category has been relatively soft since then. In addition, there's more competition at the breakfast occasion today from other categories. But quite frankly, we've grown at the expense of those other categories over time. So right now, eggs are growing, but historically, we built the cereal category off egg consumption back in the 1970s, 1980s. We have an opportunity to invest back in the category, reinforce the benefits of the food form. It is a low-calorie, nutrient-dense food form, and bring consumers back into cereal. And Paul, again, will give you a sense of some of the programs we have in 2015 to start to achieve that objective. And what you'll see from Paul is investment across the entire path to purchase, Desire, Decide, and Delight. The second question is around Project K. And again, the question mark there is, should we be dropping the savings to the bottom line, or should we be reinvesting it even faster? If you look at where we are as a company, we have $1.5 billion in brand building, of which the single largest component is advertising. And our advertising as a percent of sales is actually at the high end of the peer group. So we have plenty of investment money. So we don't lack fuel in the engine. In fact, the primary objective we have as a company is to ensure this money is being spent as effectively and efficiently as possible. Consumers and how they consume media is changing dramatically. So it's no longer just about the 30-second ad. It's about Hispanic. It's about digital. It's about mobile. It's about social media. It's about loyalty programs, consumer databases, a whole range of new opportunities to engage with consumers in very different ways. So we're driving the efficiency and the effectiveness of the spend as hard and as aggressively as possible. And we believe we have the opportunity to invest back behind our business and to engage consumers in different ways. And you're seeing that already this year with what we're calling category building activities around cereal in the big developed markets. So in the US and Canada, we had a program called Cereal and Milk, reminding people the benefits of protein and grains. In the UK, we have a program called Origins, which is reminding people that cornflakes and Rice Krispies, for example, are very simple foods. It's literally a piece of corn and a rice bird has been puffed. And so it's reminding people of the simplicity, wholesomeness, natural element of these foods. And then in Australia, we have a program called Bones and Brains, which is about kids' nutrition. It's too early to tell how well those programs are working in Europe and Australia because they're really just kicking off in the middle of the year. I'd say on the US and the cereal and milk program, quite frankly, it did not meet our expectations. However, we ran basically the same program in Canada in the second quarter, and we stabilized our cereal business in Canada in Q2 and gained a share point. The difference was the quality of in-store execution. We executed extremely well in Canada. It was a bit more patchy in the US. And we're investing back in our US sales organization to improve the quality of execution as we go forward. So we're investing back more in our DSD reps for the cookie cracker business, putting feet on the street back in the system for the warehouse business, which is where our cereal business is sold. And we're investing in new technology to make the sales force even more efficient and effective. As we go forward with Project K Savings, we'll keep investing back in places like the emerging markets and other capabilities such as digital and Hispanic. So we believe the Project K Savings should be reinvested back in the business in order to get back on the sustainable growth model. The third question we get is the changing reality of the environment out there. Consumers are changing dramatically. There's increased competition at breakfast, and you'll see from Paul that we are launching new products around convenience and protein to be more in line with some of those trends. There's also changing views of health and wellness. So fiber, whole grain, vitamins, still important to consumers, but now they're worried about natural, fresh, local, and simplicity. I want to be able to read the side of the box and understand what's in the food. I have no interest in eating a chemistry set. And so we have to keep simplifying the foods, being clearer as to what is in the foods. And so you'll see changes here in the area of innovation and renovation as we bring out more foods that are more in line with those trends, and we change some of our current foods that they're more in line with those trends as well. Another factor that's affecting us a little bit uniquely in the food industry is a changing view of weight management. So we have a large franchise in Special K, and a number of companies have franchises that have been built on a reduced calorie claim. However, weight management has changed from reduced calories to weight wellness. I want to eat great food that's really good for me that will also help me manage my shape. The great thing about Special K, it is low-calorie, nutrient-dense food. But historically, we've talked about low-calorie. Eat it for 2 weeks, lose 6 pounds. What we need to do is switch the communication over to the nutrient density, to vitamins, whole grains, fiber, protein, whatever it may be, to re-engage the consumer back into Special K, which requires some innovation and some renovation. And again, we have some exciting innovation coming out on Special K next year. The last big change I want to point to is consumers, particularly millennials, are no longer interested in just buying great food. They want to buy great food from a company with the same values that they have. And so we need to re-engage with consumers and remind them that our values actually very much align with their values. We have extensive programs in the area of environmental sustainability, social responsibility, the heritage of Mr. Kellogg. In fact, he gave almost all his money away to the Kellogg Foundation. The largest shareholder we have is still one of the largest philanthropic organizations in the world. These are all things that we've not historically talked about with consumers. We have an opportunity to remind them that the sorts of things they'd expect from a company are exactly the sorts of things that we do, and that we are completely aligned with environmental sustainability and doing the right thing and transparency with consumers. The fourth question we get is, when will you return to the sustainable growth model? If you think about this model, pretty much every element is working today with the exception of top-line growth. We expect our top-line, our internal sales growth, to be down about 1% to 2% this year. We only need top-line to grow 1% to 2% to make this model work. So it's not like we're down 10 trying to get to plus 10. We're down 1 to 2 trying to get to plus 1 to 2 to start to get the model work and spinning in the right direction. And with Project K, with the reinvestment of those savings, with the efforts we're making to strengthen the company, we believe we have the adequate financial flexibility and capability and ideas to get the sustainable growth model working in the right direction. And that's our intention here over the next few years. So we're confident we're absolutely going to get the business back on track. There's no quick fix. There's no silver bullet. But let me hand over to Paul Norman to give you a sense around our U.S. cereal plans, particularly into 2015. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, John. Good morning, everyone. John said I'm going to talk a little bit about a subject that's very near and dear to many of the hearts in this room and on the line. So it's in a public forum. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I will talk about some of the key things I believe can change our fortunes and the fortunes of the category going forward into 2015 and beyond. Before I do that, let's just recap where we play. Breakfast remains a buoyant occasion. 70% of people say breakfast is still the most important meal of the day. In fact, one in five people are eating more breakfast than they did. And the occasion is buoyant both in home and out of home. In fact, three out of four breakfasts are still eaten within home. But you know and I know that the habits are changing out there, and those changes are affecting our category in the near term. John mentioned history. There's been headwinds and tailwinds in the cereal business over the years. It's true, at the moment we're in a headwind environment, and it's up to us to adjust to the changing habits to change the trend and the output going forward. Firstly, consumers' views of health and wellness are changing. It's incumbent on us to change with them or change ahead of them. Their habits of breakfast are changing. In fact, the occasion of breakfast is expanding to more and more of the morning day part, and in fact, there's often two opportunities now in the morning for people to consume breakfast, whereas in the past there would only have been one. And then choice. There's an expansion and a proliferation of choice, both in the home and out of the home, that makes life interesting and means we need to respond. The truth is, taste, convenience, satiety are still right at the top of the list when it comes to needs at breakfast as well as health. So as you think about cereal, and you think about cereal in the U.S., well, I believe the three, four things that are high level we need to do to change our outcome and change the category outcome going forward. The first one is, yes, we do need to respond and meet better, in some cases, consumer needs in the area of health and wellness. So I'm going to talk about Special K and I'm going to talk about Kashi, and you'll see why in a second they're so important to our company. We need to continue to respond to the fringes in these habits around convenience and push our business into formats, packages, channels where we can be where the consumer expects us to be with the right format at the right price to suit their evolving needs in the morning. As John mentioned, especially with millennials, we actually need to start engaging consumers more on what they want to talk to us about and less about what we want to talk to them about. And I'll talk to you a couple of programs that we think can really drive engagement and relevancy for our company, our brands, and our category in the new world of engaging millennials. And then finally, if three of these four are external, one's internal. And as John mentioned, we think we have an opportunity gap and big potential to improve and excel when it comes to execution with greater impact behind bigger ideas right through the path to purchase and, quite frankly, bring some excitement and some fun back to the category in our aisle. Let's talk health and wellness and that trend first and foremost. These two brands, for 15 years, Special K and Kashi, have been our growth engines. In the last 52 weeks, the pair of them are responsible for more than 50% of our consumption declines as a company in the category. Goes to point out that when you come off a trend of health and wellness, you slip to the side, it can be quite painful. There's nothing to say here that I don't believe we can't get these brands back on trend fairly quickly. And I'm going to go through a couple of examples on each of the brands to illustrate why I believe these brands can react to the environment and perform going forward. John mentioned Special K. He mentioned weight and diet and diet. Weight management is as important as ever to many women. They're still looking to manage their weight. They're still looking to lose weight. But their perceptions of diet and wellness have evolved. And we need to evolve as a brand with them. If you look around the marketplace, many food brands that play in the weight management arena are suffering similarly due to the shift in consumer attitude. It's less about deprivation. It's more about choice. As John said, it's less about less calories. It's more about getting more from the calories I consume. It's less about compromise. Again, it's more about choice. It's more about taste. It's more about satiety. Special K is an old brand, been around a long time, and has moved with these trends over the years. It's time for us to move again and adapt to the trend. So in 2015, we'll be reinventing just about every aspect of our proposition to the consumer, starting with the positioning. As John mentioned, the positioning that's recently been more around losing weight and based around programs and challenges will move to a focus on nutrient density and the food. That'll obviously come through communication, It will touch our renovation and innovation and also come through in our packaging as we move the brand to more of a positioning around, as I said, nutrient density and a focus on our food and less of a focus on challenges and ways to lose weight. Let's look at innovation and talk about packaging as well. So when you think about renovation and innovation, we'll be reinvesting in our core foods, improving the taste and flavor of our core foods, because we know that will drive differentiation, and that's what our consumers want to see. We'll also, from an innovation point of view, keep focusing on what's hot and what's on trend. We've got a great protein variant in the market today. We're going to bring more protein to Special K in Q1 next year. We're also going to launch the first ever gluten-free Special K food. And we're going to continue to lean in to those hot segments, like hot granola, where we see growth in the category and bring the promise of Special K to those segments as well. So a different track when it comes to renovation and innovation in the context of where the consumer is going or is already. Packaging, you'd expect that if we're going to change the positioning, this needs to come through. As of the beginning of the year, we will have a complete refresh of all our packaging with better differentiation between variants and a much greater focus, difficult to see on the chart here, on our food and the promise in our food. So if you think about Special K, a new position and focused on nutrient density, more focus on food, improving our base foods, innovating into spaces which are relevant and on trend, and bringing that through in all of our communication and our packaging as of Q1 next year. Let's move to Kashi and touch on Bear Naked as well. You've all read recently the announcement of Dave Denham coming back to the company and us reestablishing the Kashi business unit back in La Jolla. That is critical in enabling us to refocus the Kashi company a little bit on its roots to drive more autonomy, more speed, more nimbleness, and more of a focus on progressive nutrition and pioneering in nutrition in the brand. If you look at the brand today, and you look at Bear Naked as well, it's still the number one organic brand in the marketplace, a key entry point to consumers entering the organic space. Bear Naked, number one organic and natural granola with huge potential for growth, playing in hot segments, as I'll talk to in a second. Let's think about Kashi. The whole point of refocusing Kashi is to get on the front foot and get forward back into progressive nutrition. We've got a couple of things in the way of housework to do first to get our portfolio in shape, particularly our biggest brand, Go Lean. By Q1, the entire Go Lean cereal franchise will be non-GMO certified. So the base is set. The heart-to-heart business will fall under the organic promise portion of the brand, so the rest of the brand will be organic in nature. We can then lean more heavily forward into driving after the core consumer, the core customer, and their needs, those advocates in pioneering and progressive nutrition. We have two variants rolling out under the Kashi cereal range at the end of this year and the beginning of next year. One is the raisin and chia granola, and the second is a brand new feature under Organic Promise with sprouted grains coming to certain markets at the beginning of the year. So we get the house in order and we lean into progressive nutrition under an operating model which is far more autonomous, with more speed, more nimbleness, and focused more on those advocate consumers and customers, which is really where the brand came from, but we believe this operating model will get us back onto growth in the not-too-distant future. Bear Naked. Nothing but space to grow in Bear Naked. We play in two very hot segments, the granola segment and also the health and wellness, if you like, lifestyle performance bar segment. We have fabulous foods, better or equal to all foods wherever we compete. Our big issue is awareness and distribution. So with more of a focus to the right customers in the right areas, we can drive this brand's awareness and distribution going forward and expect to accelerate growth in this area under the Kashi company going forward. Something that was difficult to do inside the big Kellogg company will be a lot easier to do inside the Kashi company. So we've done Special K. We've talked about Kashi, reasons to believe we can stabilize and turn that 50% issue when it comes to consumption in our business. Let's talk about quickly the need for convenience. We've made some good progress in the past year or so with cup formats, growing rapidly and highly incremental to our business, also entering segments in adjacencies like drinks to bring convenience and portability to people in the morning to serve their needs. These are important needs. They're small today, but if you go forward 3 to 5 years, the need for convenience is only going to grow in our lifestyles, and it's incumbent on us to bring the formats at the price points to the channels where consumers expect to find our company in the future. It's high growth, and it's highly incremental to our core business today. Let's talk to the third point. John mentioned, and I said up front, we need to engage consumers more how they expect to be engaged, especially millennials, than maybe we would have done in the past. And I want to touch on two programs. The first one here, Give a Child a Breakfast. As John said, in the image of our founder, we've always cared about child nutrition. We believe as a company that no child should go without a breakfast. The fact is, in the U.S. today, one in five still do. We spend a lot of money every year and a lot of activity driving hundreds of millions of breakfasts to kids who don't get a breakfast, don't get the chance to go to school with a breakfast inside them. We do that all over the world. We've talked to consumers about this, and this is an extremely powerful insight, whoever you talk to, wherever you go in the world. I'm going to show you a commercial in a minute of a program now that is a global program in nature to bring this idea of give a child a breakfast to life and touch the hearts and minds of many of our core consumers, like millennials, who expect more from a company like us. And this program clearly strikes some chords. Here's a commercial that's running in the UK. It was a globally created idea, and give you a sense of what we can do in the US next year behind this idea.
For a child, breakfast fuels possibility. Yet one in seven goes to school without it. That's why for years, Kellogg's have donated millions of breakfasts to those in need. And now, when you take home a box, you're giving a bowl to someone who would have gone without. Because a bowl full of potential is one thing they need to reach theirs. Kellogg's. See you at breakfast.
As you can see, this is executed under the parent brand of idea of a see you at breakfast. It's early days in the UK, but we're seeing some very positive results, and we think this is a great idea to build reputation, build bonding with consumers going forward, and strengthen our brands and our company. The second area is also concerns millennials, and that is companies like ours, there's more expected of us today. We need to be more transparent with who we are, what we believe, and what we do, and why we do it. And so we have a platform launching in Q1 that will be an always-on platform digitally to engage consumers in what they want to talk about with our company, whether that's nutrition, what we stand for, what we believe in our food, whether that's sustainability, whether that's what we do in communities. And as you can see from the previous page, this will go underneath all of our parent brand activity, but also allow us to talk to consumers about whatever's on their mind and help us shape our brands, our business, and our reputation going forward to enter into a different kind of dialogue than historically we would have done, and to do it in different ways, in a digital, obviously, format, really responding to what our consumers want to hear from us and what they expect to hear from us going forward. The fourth area is near and dear to my heart, knowing this business as I have done for many years, is bringing back some fun and excitement to the category and actually executing with impact more in the store. So this concerns bigger, better events executed right through the line, through the decide phase, to drive massive impact in store. It means we're going to put the fun back in the box in terms of inserts, premiums, and fun for children. Drive repertoire and variety in the category. And with, as John said, with the addition of feet on the street now, getting our sales force back in play, we can really drive execution right down to the point of purchase and bring some fun, some excitement back to the aisle. We're also going to focus more on fundamentals from a sales point of view. Core ranging, core shelf holding. With that sales force back, we can do the fundamentals and the fun, and I think drive more excitement in our aisle going forward. And we have a plan packed with ideas to do that next year. So if you think about what I've just talked about at a high level, because I'm not going to go into any more detail today, we must meet changing needs. And two of our brands, Special K and Kashi, have the opportunity to pivot, to really get back on their game and meet those needs. And if we do that, we stabilize a big part of our issue when it comes to our core portfolio and what were our growth engines. We need to continue to drive more convenience and reach to where the consumer's going to be and where the trends are going to be. We need to think differently about how we engage consumers and engage them on things they want to talk to us about more than talking to them about what we want to talk about. So programs like Give a Child a Breakfast and always-on communication platforms to engage in dialogue around who we are, what we believe in as a company, and why we do what we do, and to listen to consumers and shape our brands with their voice is critical to us going forward. And then finally, we can up the game from an impact and execution point of view. Bigger ideas executed with scale right through to the point of purchase, bring some fun and excitement back to what has always been a fun, exciting category at the point of purchase and drive some, like I say, some excitement in our aisle in the center store. With that, I'm going to close and pass you to Ron. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul, and good morning. I'm going to take you through an update on Project K, discuss our operating principles briefly, and then land on cash flow and uses of cash. First, it's important to note that Project K remains on track to meet its operational and financial goals. And remember, there are four key elements for Project K. First, it's creating the global category teams behind breakfast and snacks, and then aligning our regions behind those teams. The objectives for the teams is to set long-term strategy for the categories and also to set the long-term innovation pipeline that we can scale up and cascade around the globe quickly. Next is building capabilities. We're also driving some functional efficiencies or cost savings out of our global functions. Some examples of the capability building. Well, we've invested in research and development capability in Asia, specifically in India and Singapore, to bring that capability closer to our business and to our consumer as well. And you heard John and Paul talk about investment in our U.S. sales force over the course of 2014 as well. Next, we're building the global supply chain that will serve our business for the next decade. That includes rationalizing some capacity in our developed markets, and I'll talk later about some things that we've executed. And it also includes investing in capacity where we are seeing faster growth in regions around the world. And last is implementing global business services to create more efficient and effective end-to-end transaction processing behind the functions of finance, human resources, supply chain, and information technology as well. Now, our financial outlook for the project remains on track with what we communicated when we launched the project back in November. On a pre-tax charge basis, we expect to spend $1.2 to $1.4 billion. That includes the non-cash portion that you see on the page here. We're also going to invest a bit more in capital, about $300 million, particularly over the next couple of years, 2014 and 2015, really to help us execute the supply chain initiatives, and then there's some capital behind global business services as well, all with a view to establish $425 to $475 million worth of savings at run rate by 2018. We have a good return on the project, approximately a 30% rate of return, and our goal is to improve upon that rate of return as we bring each initiative to execution over the course of the next 4 years. Now, this chart depicts how you might envision the savings and the investments associated with the project. As you would expect, our savings will build over time. In 2014, we expect to recognize about $60 to $70 million worth of savings. The savings won't be a straight line build, but they'll build over time to the run rate of $425 to $475 million. The investments are a little bit more front-end weighted to get our global supply chain initiatives executed, and also to develop the processes around global business services. So those investments build, they peak in 2015, and then they decline over the remainder of the four-year period. Now, I'm pleased to say that our global supply chain work is tracking according to plan. We've announced capacity reductions in our developed markets in both our cereal and our snacks businesses, and you can see some of the locations where we've announced closures of manufacturing plants or where we're downsizing capacity in our developed markets. In addition, we're investing, as I mentioned, in growth within some of our emerging markets. We recently opened up and began producing Pringles in Poland at the end of the second quarter. We've broken ground and are erecting a facility to produce Pringles in Malaysia as well to bring that capability closer to our customer and our consumer. We're building a cereal plant in India that comes online at the end of 2014. And in addition, we're scaling up production capabilities behind cereal and snacks at our Thailand manufacturing plant. Roughly two-thirds of the savings for the overall project come from supply chain, and approximately a similar rate to the total percent of the project investments are in supply chain as well. And as you'd expect, the cost savings will drive improvements in our gross margin of about 150 basis points over the four-year period. Now, we're making great progress on our global business services implementation as well. We've designed the end-to-end processes behind procure-to-pay, order-to-cash, and hire-to-retire. We've also announced a number of regional service centers around the globe, including in North America, Europe, and Asia Pacific, and where we have transaction processing that's very routine in nature, that we can do on a global basis, we're moving that to an outsourced provider in India. And some of that work is actually starting now, or some of that transition is starting now. As you would expect, we're being very careful in how we manage the transition of those services into these new service centers or to our outsourced providers. So it will take a few years for us to fully implement global business services because we want to protect the services that we provide to our business, our customers, and obviously our suppliers as well over the several-year period. And as you'd expect, our overhead as a percent of sales will improve as a result of the initiatives. Now, our operating principle, sustainable growth. First, Project K improves our quality of earnings over the four-year period, and it is a key enabler to get us back on the path of sustainable growth. An important item to note as well, on the right side of the chart, you see gross profit and growing gross profit dollars and gross margin, and as well discipline around overhead. We strive to achieve 3 to 4% productivity improvements in cost of goods sold, and we have demonstrated that over the past decade. The Project K savings are on top of that. We have a similar discipline in overhead, and again, the Project K savings are on top of that, so that we can unlock opportunity, financial opportunity, that we can invest behind our business in brand building and innovation and get our top line back to sustainable growth. You may also see us invest in overhead capability. The U.S. sales force investments that we're making in 2014 are a good example of that. So we're investing in brand building and innovation, but we may invest in overhead where it can drive our top line growth. On manage for cash, our long-term outlook on these principles remains very consistent with what we've communicated as well. But I would say that we are focusing very hard on working capital and making improvements there to help us partially offset the cash requirements associated with Project K. So we're executing an accounts payable initiative to drive cash out of there, and we believe we have some opportunities in inventory as well. We do sustainable growth well. Hit the mark on manage for cash as well, and we should improve our return on invested capital over time. Now, next, I'd like to reaffirm our guidance, our outlook for 2014. I won't go through all of the details. This is very consistent with what we just communicated on our second quarter earnings call. So we are on track to deliver our expectations for the year. Now, we have a goal of growing our cash flow in line with earnings over time. So what do we do with that cash? Well, first, return the cash to share owners through our dividend and our share repurchase program. But we also look at selected acquisitions that are in line with our long-term strategy. So some examples of that and where we may hunt for acquisition opportunities. Well, first, in the natural and organic space. And we've made some great acquisitions over time in this space. Kashi and Bear Naked would be good examples. As Paul mentioned, we're reestablishing Kashi as a standalone business unit. Of course, that team's responsibility will be first to grow the core business, but we will also look at opportunities for acquisitions that we can bolt on and grow with that business. And we may look in the international space for natural and organic businesses as well. And two key facets of our strategy are expanding our presence in emerging markets and also building our international snacks business. We bought Keebler back in 2001. It gave us great scale in the U.S. around our snacks business. And then we bought Kringles in 2012, which added to that scale and gave us snacking capability internationally. but interesting for us would be to find international snacks business that might have an emerging markets presence and allow us to build out that international snacks business as well. And last, we have a long history of returning cash to our share owners. We've returned nearly $7 billion of cash over the past 6 years. We'll work within a 40 to 50% dividend payout ratio, and we've increased our dividend over the past 4 years, despite the fact that our earnings have been relatively flat, demonstrating the confidence that we have in getting our business back to growth. And on share repurchases, we pulled back on share repurchases after we bought Pringles in 2012 to strengthen our financial flexibility. So we did that for 2 years. We now have an authorization to repurchase $1.5 billion worth of shares through the end of 2015, and we've begun executing against that in 2014. So good history of returning cash to our share owners, very disciplined in maintaining our financial flexibility for acquisitions as well, and returning cash to share owners. And with that, I'll turn it back to John for some summary comments.
Great. Thank you, Ron. We're out of time. I appreciate the interest this morning. I see we're taking the right actions around Project K, reinvesting back in the business, and we're confident over time we'll get ourselves back in our sustainable growth model. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.